Hello and welcome to the Majlis, the podcast by Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, focusing on Central Asia. I'm Mohammed Tahiri, your host here in Washington, D.C. Central Asia continue to discuss question about what to do with its alphabet. Turkmenistan already changed, Uzbekistan still changing since one decade, and Kyrgyzstan periodically touching and quickly forgetting it. It's again on the agenda in Kazakhstan. At this time, Astana seems serious, and we are here to discuss how serious is it and what are the driving factor behind this move. Manuel, we will also touch why the process taking so long in Uzbekistan and what are the lessons to learn from Turkmenistan. To discuss all these, I have a representation from all those Central Asian countries, to start with Medet Toliganov, who is the chair of international and comparative politics at the American University in Kyrgyzstan. Nobat Bisanov is joining us from Kazakhstan, who's the Kazakhstan correspondent for Nikkei Asian Review in Almaty. Nobahar Imamova, anchor at the Uzbek Service of Voice of America, is joining us. And Bruce Panier, editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty Central Asia blog, called Kishlok Owozi, is with us today. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome on board.
Thank you.
Hello.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for joining us today. Nobat, let's start with you. What are the authorities in Kazakhstan talking about these days, and at what stage are we in this alphabet question?
Authorities in Kazakhstan, they're thinking of adopting a draft alphabet by the end of this year and gradually start adopting it and complete the switch by 2025. Recently, in parliament, a working group, they presented their draft of alphabet, but because that draft alphabet involves what are they called when two letters read as one, and public was quite against that draft. And it's not clear yet what kind of alphabet Kazakh authorities would adopt, but they're serious about it. And I do believe that by the end of the year, we will have a sort of Roman-based alphabet.
Yeah, no, but the interesting question is, it's not the first time that Kazakhstan is talking about this. So what has been happening so far in this? Why we are still in the discussion, in the selection mode of choosing those alphabets?
It's taking so long because there is quite big opposition to the move, especially from those people who don't trade in Kazakh, like Russian-speaking Kazakhs. And the government always weighs in whether to seriously adopt the move, the new alphabet, and weighs it in with costs. This time, experts I've been talking to, they believe that Kazakhstan is experiencing economic crisis, and one of the reasons for logic behind the move is to distract people's attention away from current political and economic problems in Kazakhstan. But I think this time the government is serious about the move.
Okay. Medet, if you would like to comment on what Nobat has just said about the seriousness of Kazakhstan or the difficulties that he mentioned. But my other question would be to you is, earlier we have also seen similar discussion taking place in Kyrgyzstan, but it appears forgotten at this stage. How serious is this question in Kyrgyzstan?
Well, maybe comparatively it's not very much serious compared to Kazakhstan. It's just occasionally, as you notice, it just comes on and off. And maybe one of the last times when it was brought into the public discussion was early this year. One of the MPs just brought up an issue of the need to go for Latin alphabet. But I think it was a low level of public discussion. Although, of course, there is a quite, well, there is a more or less consistent group in society who think that there is a need to move for that. But it never translates basically to a more or less consistent policy discussion that we need to do something more or less systematically in terms of moving towards the Latin alphabet. And in reaction to what MP has been saying earlier this year, the president publicly noted that, well, we will not move for Latin alphabet.
Nobahar, Kazakhstan is a recent player in this field, as Uzbekistan trying to change for already a decade for now, I believe. So how much of success do you see in these efforts in Uzbekistan? I guess my question is, why is this taking so long in Uzbekistan, where, unlike Kazakhstan, you don't have major Russian-speaking community?
I guess the immediate answer from the proponents of the Latinization of the Uzbek alphabet would be that, well, we actually knew and expected that this would take this long. Nobody expected that it would be a very short-term, policy execution. The problem with Uzbekistan was that there has never been a comprehensive policy. It was an order, it was a centralized decision to switch the alphabet. It started in 1995 and it continues, till today. There was never any debate, no discussion, no follow-up or evaluation of that order or, that policy. And there was never a strong will within the system to fully Latinize. I mean, I can't tell you how many times Uzbek officials would silently say or criticize the use of the Latin alphabet. A lot of the people, especially mid-level officials, could not understand why Uzbekistan had to switch. And, that created a generational gap, and there was going to be a natural generational gap. But there's a huge gap now because a lot of people just consciously refuse to learn the alphabet. They continue to use Cyrillic, and they were not necessarily punished or discouraged from doing so. Lack of literature, lack of textbooks. And of course, the reforms in the educational system were also very confusing for many people. So many people seemed to be forced to use the new alphabet, and that did not necessarily lead the country to the expected outcome, which was basically to fully Latinize within the next decade. So there were a lot of issues, and those issues continue to exist. But the reason that Uzbekistan wanted to switch to Latin alphabet was that in the early 1990s, just like many other newly independent countries, Uzbekistan was fully focused on getting close to the West, the international community. Latinizing the alphabet was one of those critical steps to be taken to show the world that, Uzbekistan was determined to strengthen its sovereignty and also to demonstrate to the rest of the Turkic-speaking world that we want to be closer to you, specifically to Turkey. And many geopolitical changes, specifically, for example, President Karimov's increasing fear of Turkey because it was supporting the opposition, I believe changed his mind. He never spoke about the Latin alphabet. We never heard from any officials, even today, no minister, no Uzbek official comments on this. There was this vague approach to this script. But now, for the past 1 year, what we see is that this increasing use of the Latin alphabet. Most of the state, the government websites offer Latin alphabet, Uzbek Cyrillic, and Russian and English. So Uzbekistan at this point is equally using both scripts. And I think it's too early to say whether it has been, successful or not successful, but it's been very confusing for the society in general.
The question about the confusing is very interesting. So what has been the implication of this confusion, let's say, on public?
Well, what you see is now that especially a lot of people are on social media and they communicate with each other, in written form, they write to each other. And what I see as a journalist and as an Uzbek journalist is that this illiterate way of communication, I mean, I can't put it in any other way. You have many people, millions of Uzbeks, who can't master either, who do not master either. So people cannot properly write in Cyrillic, people cannot properly write in Latin. And I'm talking about a generation that grew up, let's say my generation, right? I'm 1978 born. I was 13 when Uzbekistan became independent. For me to learn the new script was a natural thing. And because I was also learning English, mastering Latin was not a big deal. And let's just say that if the majority of Uzbekistan is under the age of 45, they shouldn't have that much difficulty learning the Latin alphabet if the education system was obviously, pushing it and, promoting it and teaching it. But because of the degradation of the educational system, and you have two ministries in Uzbekistan focusing on this, right? You have the Ministry of Higher Education and you have the Ministry of Public Education. And none of these ministries ever discussed this topic. And whenever you approach the authorities, like who is the authority who actually has some kind of a role in the promotion or in the execution of that order, which, you know, history goes back to 1995, nobody can answer that question. So it would be safe to say that that policy has always been very incomprehensive, and it remains incomprehensive. I mean, we haven't heard from the new government of Uzbekistan anything about this script yet.
Okay, so what Nobahar is saying, in other words, is it's easier said than do. Bruce, how did Turkmenistan do it?
Well, I mean, they moved over a long time ago, about the same time as Uzbekistan. I think even prior to Uzbekistan, they were already moving into that. You know, I mean, like Nobahar said, one of the big problems you got is you create this artificial generational divide, you know, where there's people who are learning the new script, and obviously they're the younger people who are attending school, and then you have this older generation who was probably schooled, or most of their education had taken place in the days of the Soviet Union. So the older people tend not to take a lot of time to learn the Latin script, and there's still a great deal of material available out there in Cyrillic, and some of the newspapers do use Cyrillic still, so it's not much of a motivator for really both generations. If you learn the Latin script, you're probably not likely to spend a lot of time trying to master the Cyrillic script, especially because you know that it's going away. If you're from the older generation and you know the Cyrillic script, you're probably not likely to spend a lot of time to learn the Latin script, just because you figure there's a lot of material out there, and you'll be dead anyway in 20 or 30 years. So what's the point of going through all this headache of trying to learn this new script? You know, in Turkmenistan's case, there's another problem, that the better literature is the literature that was produced, that was printed, I should say, during the Soviet times, because, of course, there was a wide variety of topics. They translated all kinds of works from different authors in different fields. And whereas now, of course, as we know, most of the literature that is produced in Turkmenistan that's actually printed in Turkmenistan is this literature that centers, focuses on the leadership. So, Rukhname is one example, but Berdimuhamedov is certainly not behind in his alleged authorship of a lot of books, too. And this is the stuff that's available, which is really too bad, because it really doesn't, to me anyway, it doesn't seem like it would motivate me to learn Latin script if I knew Cyrillic, knowing that the books that I was probably going to be able to read would be Berdimuhamedov's book on tea, or the Ahalteki horse, or just what a great guy he is in general, or something like that. So they're not reprinting the works of Pushkin, say, from Cyrillic into Latin alphabet in Turkmenistan, because most of the printing is given over to the works either by or about the presidents of the country.
Yeah, but Bruce, if you don't learn Latin alphabet, you have no chance of unemployment in Turkmenistan these days. Then not learning creates another problem.
Well, I agree with that. And, you know, like I said, they're teaching it in schools. So certainly the younger generation, the people that are going to school now or have been in the last 10 or 15 years, would know the Latin script so they could read a newspaper, things like that. So they do know it, yes. But as far as the availability of a wide body of literature, even if you were studying science or some of these other fields, I'm not sure how much access you would have to printed material in Turkmenistan at this point. In fact, you might still have to work off of Latin texts, or have mastered another language where you would have access to Russian, say, or something like that, so that you could read those texts. Because, Turkmenistan is not reprinting works on chemistry in the Latin script, or not very many, certainly not in sufficient volume.
Yeah.
So, that's the problem there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, no, but what model the Kazakhstan is talking about? Is there any discussion about the Turkmenistan model in this, or Uzbekistan experience when they are talking about the switch?
That's the thing, that those who oppose this policy of Latin alphabet, they do cite either Uzbek or Turkmen example and say half of the population are illiterate, all that. But the Kazakh government is taking a different approach and is going to adopt the new alphabet methodologically, in that the government promises at least 1 month courses for all adults who are out of school. And in schools, it would be also adopted gradually, starting with primary school, and at some point, those who are studying in secondary school, like, they would be learning the alphabet, the new alphabet, in parallel. So I think the Kazakh government is taking into account problems that exist in Uzbekistan and in Turkmenistan.
Okay, so I think the biggest question is the motivation of authorities. So what is that they want to achieve by changing the alphabet? What Uzbekistan is achieving and what did Turkmenistan achieve? In other words, what are the pros and cons of this effort? We will continue the majlis discussing these and many other questions shortly. Hey everyone, before we get into the second part of the show, just a quick reminder that if you really like Majlis podcast, there's a real chance that you will also like my other radio show that's called Gandhara Podcast. The show discusses latest developments in Pakistan and Afghanistan from local perspective. And the podcast is published in every second week on Radio Free Europe Radio Liberty's Gandhara website. It's a totally must-follow discussion for foreign policy nerds with interest in the region. First, let me recap the debate that today on the Majlis we are discussing efforts in Central Asia to switch to Latin alphabet and reasons behind. And joining me in the discussion are Medet Toluganov, who is the Chair of International and Comparative Politics at the American University in Kyrgyzstan, Novat Besenov, Kazakhstan correspondent for a Nikkei Asian Review in Almaty, Nobahar Imamova, anchor at the Uzbek Service of Voice of America, and Bruce Panier, editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's Central Asia blog called Kishlok Awazi. I am Mohammed Tahir, host of the Majlis here in Washington, D.C. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So to start with you, Medet, the bigger question is, in your opinion, personal opinion, is it a good move in general to switch to Latin?
Well, there is perspective, of course, on this issue. I think those who are trying to propagate this issue is there for political motivations. The pros are there's some apolitical linguistics that it better suits a new maybe alphabet which can be invented than the current existing one using Cyrillics. There is a political alpha motivation which of the calls for the Latinization as a way of decolonizing. But the opponents, they quite often point to the economic aspect of it, the cost of it, and then the impossibility maybe to bring it as a consistent policy as we discussed in the case of Uzbekistan. So in my personal view, maybe that's not a real issue at the moment, because in terms of we consider general, there is nation building processes, there are a lot of other issues which country is facing. And in the moment we are facing now, in more than 1 week from presidential elections, and moving forward with how the country is defining where it stands in the region, in its relations with Russia, how it's building its national and ethnic policies, and how it's trying to manage its ethnically plural societies, I think bringing up the issue of Latinization may be not appropriate. I don't see any tangible benefit in the near future, because you can be close to Latin or Cyrillic using words regardless of which letters you're using. So it's not an issue. Maybe the issue of the Latinization is quite an appeal for the internal audience or specific moments when some leaders are trying to bring in some dynamic of nationalism.
Mm-hmm. Mohammed, if I may add.
Sure.
Neither in Russia anyone considers switching the Kazakh alphabet to Latin as a political issue. Everyone agrees it's internal Kazakh language issue. And there are a lot of technical reasons for the switch, because currently with 28 sounds, Kazakh alphabet has 41 letters. And when you lay out letters on your keyboard, there are no keys for numbers. So if you want to type numbers while writing in Kazakh, you have to switch your language either to Russian or English. And also from the linguistic point of view, lots of Russian letters, like 8 of them, which don't correspond to any sound in the Kazakh language, they do corrupt the language. Because, for example, if sounds V, B, and F, and C, and Ya, U, those don't exist in Kazakh. But because Russian we adopt a lot of Russian words, those words are adopted directly from Russia without accommodation for Kazakh sounds. So in Kazakhstan, especially Kazakh speakers, they don't see any politics behind this move, but only benefits from technical point of view and from like preserving Kazakh language.
Interesting. Nobahar, what's your take on this? What Nobat is saying, like, there is no politics involved in this, at least from the Kazakh's point of view, because the simply Russian Cyrillic alphabet doesn't correspond to the Kazakh language.
There was such debate in Uzbekistan, too. I should say that the move towards Latinization started in the early 90s, and some of the ideas were actually pushed by then the Uzbek opposition, who were later on, you know, were persecuted and they had to leave the country. So many, let's say, the nationalist wave within the Uzbek politics at that time wanted this. They wanted to have an alphabet that was very close to the Turkic, let's say, the Turkish alphabet, you know. They argued that the Cyrillic didn't have the sounds that actually exist in Uzbek. But when the new alphabet was created and presented in 1995, it basically had this equal amount of letters, 28 letters, I think, and including the apostrophe, which stood for, твёрдый знак айрыш белгисе in Uzbek. So the same number of, and now the Latin script critics say that this alphabet does not represent our language. So that argument, that debate exists, but it's a very narrow debate. And, you know, it was never really discussed in wider circles, especially within the expert community. So there has never really been an authority who oversaw this. So at this point, I guess, if you know, I was 17 in 1995, and if somebody asked me whether we should Latinize, probably I would have said no, because I was just coming out of the Cyrillic, script education. But now that, you know, it's been 22 years and we've sort of been dealing with both, I would say that let's evaluate the policy, let's look back at what we have done so far and come up with a more comprehensive program. And because it would create chaos if Uzbekistan decided to go back to, you know, to be fully Cyrillic, or to, you know, immediately radically drop Cyrillic and fully Latinize. I think that process needs to be reviewed, and that process needs to be run by the people who actually know this and who are capable of overseeing the process, because it cannot just continue being a bureaucratic sort of a requirement, you know, which is what it is now.
Yeah. Bruce, let me bring you on here. I'm getting two different opinions. One from Kazakhstan, where Novot say that this is a pure need for Kazakh people, simply because the Cyrillic alphabet doesn't correspond to the linguistic needs. And on the other hand, in Uzbekistan or some other places, it's also kind of a political issue. So where you are in this discussion?
You know, I mean, in each country, obviously, they have different motivations for why they're doing this. I can understand the let's get rid of the script from the old colonial master. I suppose that works out all right. You know, I mean, historically, of course, these countries have already been through a Latinization of their script in the 1930s. It was a Soviet experiment to see if they could bring them from the Arabic script into a different script, and they started with Latin, and after a couple of years, they decided they would just switch over and do it Cyrillic. So they do have some experience with the Latinization of their alphabets out there. You know, again, I always question what the motivation is for some of this stuff. You know, you're taking on a big expense because there are things that have, if you're going to switch the alphabet, there are works that are going to have to be translated because they're really important. So, you know, where are you as a country financially that you're going to be able to pull this off? You know, I talked to Hamid Ismailov just a couple weeks ago because I'm working on something totally different. He said only about 10% of the books being printed in Uzbekistan in the Latin script these days have anything to do with the classic literature of the region, because they simply don't have the funds to do that. So, you know, Alisher Nawai and people like that, it's hard to find their books if you're reading the Latin script. So, you know, that's a motivation. Now, nobody would know more about what's happening in Kazakhstan than I would, obviously. But I've heard that part of the problem in Kazakhstan is that the language, as it's codified in Kazakhstan, was based on works that were done by people like Baytursinov and Auezov, you know, and they're northerners. And of course, Nazarbayev's from the south, from Chemogon. So there's this other undercurrent of why you know, at least some people think that that might be playing a role in this too, is that the version of Kazakh language that's being spoken is not the version from Nazarbayev's area of the country or for a lot of the people in the inner circle. And so by changing the alphabet, they can also change the language a little bit to reflect more the way they use it in the South naturally. You know, now that's kind of a crazy way to go at it. If there's any truth to that at all, that's obviously kind of a crazy way to do it. You know, if that's playing any role at all, then like I said, the expense seems overly great for the result that you're trying to get out of this, because it, you know, in Kazakhstan's case, maybe they have the money, but in other countries' cases, you wouldn't, you know, that's a big expense to translate all the books on science, literature, things like that, from one alphabet into another so that your population still has access to the same important information that they're going to need to go forward.
Okay.
Hi, Muhammad. May I ask you something?
Yeah.
Bruce, I never heard of that argument that now Kazakh speakers are in the South and they want to adapt the script to their pronunciation or anything. I don't know, that might be true. But when it comes to costs, if you go to Kazakh bookshops, all the books which are now in demand, be it in Soviet era books or early books or later books, they all are published every year or every other year. So there won't be any expense in republishing books as such, because those books are published anyway. And those books published in Soviet times, all these Karl Marx, Lenin books, which are not in demand anyway, people who would want to read them, they would know either Russian or they would learn Kazakh Cyrillic alphabet to go and read them, because I don't see anyone, like a person from the street, just going and reading Lenin's book. So I don't think costs argument is valid in Kazakhstan. And as someone who writes in Kazakh, I do see technical problems with using Cyrillic in modern-day computerized world. So neither politics nor costs could be cited as arguments in case of Kazakhstan.
Hmm. Bruce, do you want to respond? Or?
I would just ask then, but if you have books, like I said, you have the books that are printed in Kazakh Cyrillic about chemistry again, we'll say, or mathematics or something like that. Now, if you're switching to the Latin script, then you have to reprint those books in the new script. So there is a cost for essentially translating these books into the new script and then printing them again so everyone has access to them, right?
Kazakhstan is now going to teach school children sciences in English anyway. So people who would want to know, who wants to read chemistry, they wouldn't be reading old Soviet books, but would be reading new books published in the UK or US or anywhere else in English. So those book arguments, they are very minor in Kazakhstan's case.
Okay.
And if, for example, as you said, Abbas or Navais or Makhdum Kulis or Shakespeare's books published in Soviet times in Cyrillic, if you go to Kazakh bookshops, they're published every year. So there isn't a problem with publishing, because, say, maybe perhaps they would start with half of the circulation published in Cyrillic, then half in Roman alphabet. But eventually it would all become Romanized.
Yeah, your points are well taken, but the maybe this question is general for anyone. So whenever you touch any topic which has to do with the past history, especially the Soviet time history, and it touches to Russia, in this case it does touch Russia, it automatically kind of become political. So what is Moscow's approach? If it's not saying anything, why it is silent, maybe, Nobahar?
Well, I don't think they look at this, at least from, you know, based on what we have heard from the Russians so far, which has been very little on this. But in general, you know, whatever the countries are doing to prove their sovereignty or to, let's say, to decolonize, to show to the world that they have their own, you know, policies and the national plans for development, they're very sarcastic. They usually are very cynical. You know, we've heard things like, well, you know, I mean, you will still need our language. You still are under our informational influence. So they do point to the fact that the Russian is needed. The language still makes a lot of sense, you know, in this part of the world. And they look at Central Asia as still their backyard, right? Many, many Russian politicians would probably say that. And then there are also people who are very pro-Russian within these countries. I mean, yeah. Uzbekistan being the largest society in Central Asia, there is a certain level of anti-Russian sentiment, but you still have a very Russian-speaking elite who wants Cyrillic. And if you talk to them individually, they'll make it very, very clear that, you know, their kids are studying in Russian. There are definitely less Russian language schools in Uzbekistan now. There is less, dramatically less Russian language education in the country. And about 10 years ago, specifically right after the Andijan event, there was this move towards Russia, right? Uzbekistan was opening its arms to Russia again, and Russia was becoming closer than before to the Uzbek government. And there was a certain level of like pro-Russian wave in Uzbekistan. So all those factors are still very much at play, I would say. And if, let's say, Uzbekistan started a wider discussion of this, we'd probably hear a lot of conflicting views. There would be a very heated debate. There is some of that debate going on social media now, and you have two extreme, you know, sides. One is basically, no, we should remain in Cyrillic. It has nothing to do with Russia. It really is about quality content and, you know, better education. And then you have another extreme side which says, no, we're Uzbeks. You know, we have to be very proud of our identity, and we have to have our own unique, you know, script. So we're not hearing enough from the people who are in between, and that's something that we journalists should pay more attention. And it'll be in 1989, you know, Uzbek became the national language of Uzbekistan. So during October, usually around this time, there is always a renewed discussion of this topic, and I'm expecting that we'll have many of them in the coming days. But what is very clear, especially listening to my, you know, Kazakh colleague here and to Bruce, you know, reforms are costly. And this, the script switch will have to be a part of the educational reform. And if the governments were really serious about reforming their educational system, not just cosmetically, not just, you know, doing some two or three specific programs, but fully reform the education system, they will have to take this very seriously. And it will cost. It's not just about publishing, you know, books in the Latin script. It will have to involve much more than that. Mm. You know, policy-wise, I think, you know, it has a lot to deal with the political will that exists in each capital. When you have a government like that we have in Uzbekistan, where the officials, especially mid-level and above, mainly function in Russian and they write mainly in Cyrillic, this will be a very hard thing to do. Unless, of course, you know, President Mirziyoyev comes out and he says, let's go Latin fully. In that case, then everybody will be forced again to do something about it. And that won't be the right move, I would say, as an observer. I think the country needs a comprehensive plan, as I said at the beginning. Mm,
okay.
But, Bahar, yes. I think we are confusing a little bit between Russian language and Uzbek or Kazakh. In Kazakhstan, in the Russian language, we shall always use Cyrillic. It's not about switching the whole country.
No, I understand. But Cyrillic and Russian have a lot to do with each other, right? So a lot of people who are pushing for Latin in the country, they're also the opponents of the use of the Russian language. Yeah. They still see Cyrillic as the Russian remnant. That's what I mean. Obviously, Russian language will remain in Cyrillic. That's a separate issue. But those who want the Latin alphabet do not want the Russian influence on it.
It's. I think in Kazakhstan, while Kazakhs speak more Russian than Kazakh, we can't argue that switching Kazakh alphabet is something anti-Russian. There was no Kremlin reaction. There was no official reaction from Russian foreign minister, because they do understand that Kazakh language should write in whatever script they want, and because they understand that Kazakhs would still be speaking Russian and no Cyrillic alphabet. Mm. And coming back to the costs issue, Kazakhstan recently held expo exhibition, spent officially $1.3 billion, and people did question why the government spent so much money on that. So when the government is spending such huge money on vanity projects, I think costs of switching the alphabet and somehow helping revive the Kazakh language, they shouldn't be an issue of cost. Whatever might costs be, I think they would be justifiable.
Okay, interesting. So, Medet, you've been quiet today. Now, you have heard some emotional responses representing the both camp, and alongside Kyrgyzstan, we also not hearing anything in Tajikistan. It just remains out of the picture. Why is that?
Well, that's my suspicion will be that Tajikistan is part of the Iranian world, and therefore maybe Latin is not the only option. But it also gives another complication in terms of the switch to alphabet other than Latin, which they have also options to do. But in terms of Kyrgyzstan, as I noted, there is a political underlying aspect of this latent discussion. Of course, Kyrgyzstan is a bit specific. That's why I was a bit more silent today. Mm. We don't have more or less clear stated policy. We have occasional discussions about it. But they never reach a certain point of moving anywhere. But somehow they may be expression of certain rising nationalism in this regard. But I would say that nationalism in Kyrgyzstan is more like inward-looking, not outward-looking. In that sense, maybe it's not like pointing to Russia as an issue. Although some groups in Kyrgyzstan, they talk about decolonization as one of the reasons why perhaps we should move to Latin alphabet. Yeah. But I think there have been mostly some people in Kyrgyzstan who are concerned with the status of the language, of Kyrgyz language. So we're mostly preoccupied with general use of the language, not so much of its symbolic or maybe technical, it's the representation of the language through its alphabet. And the use of the language within the public sphere was one of the concerns, which has been slowly taking place in Kyrgyzstan in last decade, and now it's becoming more and more the language of the civil service. But whether the next stage of, let's say, a nationalist outlook towards the language will pay attention to Latinization as a maybe specific issue on its agenda, that's mostly, I think, the question which will be reflected into more not inward-looking but outward-looking realm of the nationalist discourse. Hmm. What is our relation generally within the nearby world, so with the region, with maybe Turkey, with some other Turkic-speaking and Latin-using countries, and what's our relation with Russia? I think that will define maybe the future perspective of attitudes of most of the stakeholders on this issue in Kyrgyzstan.
Mm-hmm. Bruce, about Tajikistan, you know, there are many things going on reflecting the will by the authorities of nationalizing even the some aspects of the public life. But they kind of fell short on touching script, for example. If Latin is not their choice, they could also think about the Arabic alphabet to get closer more to Iran. So why this discussion is out of agenda in Tajikistan?
Well, I mean, the easy answer to that is probably they have more than enough problems that they need to be dealing with right now. It's their economy is perpetually in bad shape. Mm. A lot of other problems that are left over from the civil war, problems, infrastructure problems, things like that. But I think you rightly pointed out, see, that this is one of the big differences between Tajikistan and the other countries, is that the Turkic-speaking countries of Central Asia have a model in actually Turkey of having adapted a Latin script to fit their language. Mm. So they already have something they can look at, whereas except for the brief experiment in the Soviet Union in the 1930s, there is no Latin model for a Persian-based alphabet right now. So I could see them making the jump back to Arabic script, but it would be a little bit more complicated to try to create a Latin script that fit the Tajik language, because we don't have, you know, the Iranians don't have something like that. In Afghanistan, Dari is not written in Latin script. So it presents an additional challenge of having to, there is no model, really, for trying to do this, unless they want to go back to the 1930s and see how the Soviets did it. And I would think for nationalism reasons, they wouldn't even want to touch that one. But like I said, ultimately, Tajikistan has a lot of issues that they need to resolve. And I wouldn't, you know, this shouldn't even be anywhere on the table in that country. They have a lot more important things to take care of.
Okay. Thank you very much for your insight, Bruce Panier, editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, Central Asia blog, Kishlok Owozi. Big thanks goes to Mehdet Toliganov, who is the chair of international and comparative politics at the American University in Kyrgyzstan, Novat Besenov, Kazakhstan correspondent for Nikkei Asian Review in Almaty, Nobahar Imamova, anchor at the Uzbek service of Voice of America, for your time in Tatsk. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is it from me, Mohammed Tahir, host of the Majlis, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, Central Asia podcast. Until next week, bye-bye.